There's a small Christian school up in Northeast Indiana called Taylor University. It's kind of an interdenominational Christian school, less than 2,000 students. But they have one of the most interesting customs I've ever heard of a school having. And it occurs at one of their basketball games during the season. And the game usually occurs on the Friday before their finals week. And the students all come to the basketball game, and they're all dressed up in all these various costumes. And I have no idea why they do that. It's just, they're in college, I guess. That's what you do. But anyway, the evening is called Silent Night. And what everybody does when they come to the game is, instead of cheering for the very first point their team scores, they wait. They wait until, I think it's the 10th point that the team scores. So even when their own team makes a basket, there's just dead silence in the whole gym. And then the excitement builds as they get closer and closer. And finally, when the shot goes in, making their 10th point or their 11th point, the whole place erupts. And they storm the floor, and they congratulate the players. And then the Silent Night comes towards the end of the game. They all stand and sing Silent Night together towards the end of the game. And then there's a party or something at the student hall or whatever they have. But they understand the meaning of waiting for something good and the energy that brings in waiting. We could apply that same understanding to the gift of salvation, the greatest gift we could ever receive, and how the great things in life are worth waiting for. Isaiah speaks of normally bleak and barren deserts all of a sudden popping up with new life. And the deaf hear, and the blind see. And all of a sudden, these things are happening. God is doing something. And Isaiah is there to tell the people, live your life in that expectation of great things to come. We come to the gospel, and Jesus gets asked quite a few questions that whose response, they want him to respond yes or no. Are you the Messiah? Yes or no. Are you the one who is to come? Yes or no. What are your miracles all of? That's not a yes or no question. But anyway, do you forgive on behalf of God? Yes or no. And Jesus' response is rarely yes or no. It isn't. And it's not because he's trying to be evasive or trying to be cryptic in his answers, and throw them off or nothing like that. He's trying to bring them to faith. And so he speaks today about what might bring them to faith. So he tells John's ambassadors who are asking him these questions, go back and tell John what's going on. Things are coming to life. In our basketball example, God is making the 10th point now. Now is the time. Tell him that. And if he realizes that in these healings and the deaf hearing and the blind seeing, if he recognizes the presence of God, then Jesus is whom people are suspecting him to be. But only in faith do we accept it. And we're a little bit like John's questioners today, John's askers of Jesus. We ask yes or no questions of God, but maybe more often for us, we ask a very modern question. Lord, how do I know if you fill in the rest? How do you know if I'm supposed to marry this him or her? How do I know if I'm supposed to do this or that particular act of kindness? How do I know if I'm supposed to be a priest or religious? That question comes to us very naturally. And God doesn't give us answers, but he does give us direction. And most of all, he gives us the gift of faith. And so as we move forward with our life, hoping to follow God, we gain confidence in through faith. That word confidence means with faith. And so as we go more confident in the decisions that we make, our faith is growing, and we follow the Lord more closely in our lives. We don't walk by sight, but by faith. And it's through that gift that we can see the world differently with new eyes. And we realize it ain't all darkness out there, that God is at work. God's not finished with God's work, but God is continually bringing people new life. And if we're one of those people that right now in our lives seems like there's a lot of darkness, the gospel is calling us, look around, look within, recognize the life that is there. Advent is a season, we wouldn't call it silent night, but we might call it the quiet season, because we're a little bit subdued in our prayers, in our music. And the reason isn't we're trying to be dour, but we're trying to build up that expectation, that recognition, that if we don't see enough light in our world right now, just wait. God will bring it, and God will bring it in full measure to us and to our world. And to that we say, thanks be to God.